If you were to think about the people that you competed with in 1964 in Peru when you won the championship, with probably most of the same people in 1968 in Puerto Rico when you again won the championship, did you see any differences regarding these people?
Well, the differences were attitudes and personalities. The people were the same. We were all more or less a traveling group of surfers that had more or less reached the top or the pinnacle of the surfing world based upon our ability to ride waves. But really what had changed were the personalities and the lifestyles. And back in the early 60s, the surfing lifestyle was pretty much one of a vagabond kind of healthy devil-may-care people who were interested in riding waves. And in 64, that was the more or less the image of the sport, and we're pretty much clean-cut athletes. But the drug movement of the late 60s started to creep in 68, and surfing got caught up in it. And it became very, everybody grew their hair long, and everybody put the beads on, and everybody listened to...
And this is what you found
when the Cintar
4 years music. Later.
Well, it was an evolutionary thing. The sport grew through it. Now, I, looking back on it now, I like to think of it, surfing was going through its adolescence. Mm-hmm. And, all the kids and all the surfers got caught up in this stuff. They all had the peace signs, and they were it was anti-establishment, and... You know,
I think the question that I have to ask is, how could you possibly be a top surfer involved with drugs and drinking and so on?
Drinking. I was basically a beer drinker, and back then I did drink. Yeah. I don't drink anymore, but that's really one of the amazing things about. Some sporting activities is your basic ability is there, and sometimes does not get that changed by look at professional athletes nowadays.
Yes, interesting.
There's drugs in professional athletes, athletics right now. We're looking at a situation where the great professional baseball players and football players are going to court for cocaine offenses.
Maybe the answer is that over the long run, it will take us to they will not sustain.
That's exactly right. And they will not sustain their life. In fact, one of the real...
And their sports career.
One of the real tragedies of the drug generation was that they all use, now we're getting into general philosophy, but one of the things that I despise the most is someone who does something what I feel is injurious to themselves, and saying, that's my right, I'm hurting nobody but myself. When you live in a structured, organized society, you have a responsibility to yourself and to society to keep yourself a constructive member of that society.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do something to injure yourself, granted, you have a right to abuse yourself if you think, but when you abuse yourself, ultimately you abuse society, because you ultimately abuse your loved ones and the people who care for you. And in many instances, in the case of drug abuse, you ultimately become a ward of society. Too many people that I knew in the late 60s and 70s who indulged in drugs, some of them were members of this club, ultimately died from drug abuse. And some others are now not totally functioning people in our society. They've become a problem.
We know that only too well.
Yeah.
Fred, I understand that you were club captain in 1975. Can you tell us about that year and your role?
Well, naturally, being involved in sports, very honored as a young man to be elected to the board of directors of the Outer New Club first in 1971. Let's see, 26 years old.
Probably the youngest that
elected. Yeah, probably the youngest board ever elected. And I, in 75, became club captain. And I think that the club has done much to promulgate and develop great sports champions, but also to provide an opportunity and a varied opportunity for people to participate in sports. And there's two kinds of sports people. There's sports observers and there's sports participators. And I'm very happy that the Outrigger is a club of sports participators, because I think sports and recreation a very healthy part of our lifestyle here in Hawaii. And I like to measure my wealth, not in simply dollars and cents and financial equity, but in experiences and the ability to do things. One of the things I enjoy very much, for instance, is jogging and running, and I also love Hawaiiana, so I've combined the two. I like to run in the mountains and in areas of Hawaii that are not quite developed, and you get to get a feel for and see many of the ancient parts of Hawaii that you don't see nowadays. I've run through Haleakala. A good friend of mine's Pat Boland. Pat and I have gone a lot of running trips. We actually ran through Haleakala. It took us 3 hours to run to the bottom and across the crater floor and then out the cliffs on the other side. I've run the King's Trail on the Kona coast. We've run at Mauna Kea. We've run through the Koa Forest at Keanakolo Road below the slopes of Mauna Kea at about 6,000 feet. I hiked and ran into Wailau Valley. So jogging and some of these experiences and adventures are an outgrowth of sports, really. So I've come to enjoy those things. As club captain in 1975, my purpose was not only to help manage and effectuate and develop the existing sports of volleyball and canoe paddling, but we also set out to try to broaden the base of sports activities in the club to afford the opportunity for more people to participate. And I'm very proud of that. And I have to mention at this time, as always, but at that time, Wakey Mist was the president of the club. And looking back on it, I would say it probably was one of the healthiest and most successful years in Outrigger sports history. We won the Molokai race. We were the paddling champions. We had the volleyball successes. But more importantly, in some ways, because we've done that numerous times in the past, in the big sports, we also that year developed some new sporting activities. Klein Mann helped me as club captain. We re-inaugurated and put together some new rules to start the surfboard paddling sport going again. It had been very prominent in the 60s and late 50s, but it more or less had fallen off. Nobody was having surfboard races. So we made a very simple rule that all boards had to be 12 feet or under and 20 pounds and over, which made it racing surfboards accessible to everybody. So we reinstituted the paddleboard race concept with Klein. And now, this is 10 years later, paddleboard racing has become a real big sport again here locally and even in Southern California. At that time was the 75. In 74, I had raced on a bet. And this is a funny athletic story. I stopped drinking in 75 to get in shape for the Molokai to Oahu canoe race, and coincidentally enough, never went back to drinking again. I haven't had a drink since 1975. Everybody thinks something's wrong with you when you don't drink. Well, I just stopped and never went back. I don't think there's anything wrong with me. But the long and short of it is,
I don't think so either.
In 1974, I was sitting on the Howe Terrace on a Friday evening with a comrade of mine, Bruce Ames, and this was 74, mind you. It's before jogging and marathon running was very popular. And I was drinking a Heineken's beer, and Bruce was drinking a Heineken's beer at about 9 o'clock at night. And we actually drank several Heineken's beers, so we were feeling very happy about life and things. And Bruce and I have always been very competitive. And Bruce said, "Hey, you know, I read in the paper they're going to have one of these things called a marathon Sunday morning." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah." He says, "Yeah, it's this race. You run 25, 26 miles. It's crazy." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Hey, Bruce, I bet I could beat you in one of those things." And Bruce said, "No, you couldn't." And so we had this big rivalry. And so I'll never forget. I said, "Okay, well, let's race it then." Cool. And he said, "Okay." And so we went down and entered the thing. And we went down Sunday morning to the second Honolulu Marathon. Nobody had ever run a marathon before that I knew of. And I didn't even know what a marathon was. And so I'll never forget getting down there, and it was like, and Bruce's girlfriend picked us up in his big station.
Now, what year was this?
1974. It was the second Honolulu Marathon. Mm. And I remember going down there, and I was saying to myself driving down there, geez, this is, maybe we did the wrong thing here. It's a pretty long way, because I remember thinking, geez, these guys are going to run from...
And of course, have you been training?
No, not at all. You know, sure, yeah. I've been a record. You know, back then I was jogging.
Yeah,
the club had just moved.
There's a little difference.
Yeah, I jog around the park. You know, back then jogging, you know, was very, very limited. And I remember thinking, if I saw the entry blank correctly, we're gonna have to run around to Waikine and back to Kapiolani Park. I said, these guys are crazy. But I remember thinking, well, I know what will happen. Bruce will get tired, and we'll just end up at the outrigger Sunday morning for breakfast, and you know, I'll win the bet. So we get off in the car down at the Aloha Tower where the race started, and I remember there were only 300 people in the race, and I thought that was a lot of people. And I said, geez, look at all these guys. And of course, that was back then the running community, and there were all these long, skinny guys. Yeah. And here Bruce Ames and I, you know, with Heineken's beer still on our breath, are at the starting line of this race, and the darn race started, and we started running down Kapiolani, down through Ala Moana Park, and I was hoping that Bruce would give up and we'd go to the outrigger. And the next thing I knew was we were at Hawaii Kai, and by that time we'd run more than half the race, about 16 miles, and we're making a turn back. And Bruce, and by that time I'd opened up a large gap on Bruce, and Bruce's girlfriend drives up in the car, and she says, Fred, you want to give up and get in the car, and we'll go back and pick Bruce up, and we'll go back. This is crazy. You guys shouldn't continue. And I knew Bruce, being the clever lawyer that he is, was just trying to bait me into giving up so he could claim he won the race and then we'd all get out of it. I said, oh, yes, I think that's a great idea. You go pick Bruce up and have him stop the race and give up, and then you pick me up and we'll go. Mm-hmm. She never came back. And I'll never forget, I limped across the finish line. It took like 4.5 hours, and it took Bruce 6.5 hours. And that was our first marathon. Well, as you know now, 10 years later, marathon running is a big sport at the outrigger. But anyway, in 1975, as club captain, we developed a marathon team. We reinstituted the paddleboard racing sport. And we did something very, was a lot of fun there. We did it for 2 years, and unfortunately it's fallen off, and I'd like to get it going again. We had a canoe surfing contest. And believe it or not, we found a trophy here at the outrigger from a canoe surfing contest they had in 1910. And we reinstituted canoe surfing, and I hope that we can get that going again as a sport. We did it for 2 or 3 years, and that should be something we should do again. And then we reinstituted the castle swim. Back when I was a kid, they had a castle swim, and the swimming community would come down, and they'd have a swimming race, and they swam from the castle home to Waikiki to the old outer canoe club. And so what we did in reinstituting the castle swim is we started at the old outrigger, which is at the Waikiki, and we swam up to the new club, which is here, of course, and that became the new castle swim. And that's a tradition that, of course, dates way back, and we reinstituted in 75.
And that's still continuing.
Right. Right. And so, you know, those were four activities that we helped rekindle interest in, and of course we developed the tennis team, and the club has been a club of participation as well as fine athletic performance. Of course, our volleyball teams and some of our surfers and canoe paddlers are ranked among the world's best, which is something really to be proud of. But also, everybody in this club is not afraid to participate, and win, lose, or draw, everybody's in there participating and enjoying what has to be offered. And I think that's a major theme of the club, that hopefully 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, when people are sitting around listening to this tape, the same mentality will be there. But I enjoy all that stuff. My real wealth in life is participating. I like to take my personal self to the edge in what I do, whether it be in running. I'm not built for running. But I enjoy big waves. I enjoy marathon paddling. I enjoy running in the mountains. Just the other day, Tommy Holmes and I were drawing up an agreement to make a bet. We're going to call it Death Duel 2020. And the year 2020, both Tommy Holmes and I, God willing, will both be 75 years old. And we are making a bet on three different athletic events for the year 2020. They'll all happen here at the outer. One will be a 1 mile canoe paddle, a 1 mile swim, and a 1 mile jog. and we're going to set up a little trust fund, and we're each going to put $100 a year into it, and then have a large sum put in, but we hope to institute an athletic scholarship for football school, which will be endowed by this bet, and whoever wins the bet in 2020 the athletic scholarship will be named in his honor. If either one of Tommy and I, just so you know the bet, if either Tommy or I happen to have an accident and we'll make it 2020, the other person automatically wins.
I see.
So it's a fun bet, but the competition in athletics is something to be enjoyed and carried throughout your life, and I hope when I'm 65 years old to be jogging, and I hope to be paddling canoes and canoe surfing, and you don't have to compete to enjoy sports. One of the greatest enjoyments I have, I gained a certain amount of notoriety as a surfer, and I'm, of course, involved in politics, and now people still say, hey, you're Fred Hemmings, a surfer. But really, I'm not Fred Hemmings, a surfer anymore, because I don't surf. My sports now are canoe paddling and running, and I go on adventures and trips into the mountains and things like that. But the sport I really do enjoy and participate in is canoe surfing. And so you don't have to be in an event to enjoy the sports that Outrigger has to offer. We here, the Outrigger single-handedly, and I say this, is preserving and developing the art of canoe surfing, because our young canoe steersmen are very proficient at riding waves and canoes, and it's something that's kind of a lost art as far as I'm concerned. Other than the Beach Boys that take the commercial canoes out of Waikiki, there's no place else in the world where canoe surfing is going on. So as far as the Outrigger history goes, not only are we a team of performers and competitors, but we're also a great source of recreation and sports development.
Well, I'll make a bet with you that in 2020 you can play this tape. You see, listen to what you just said. You know.
I want to have Tommy Holmes here right after the event to find out that I was planning his defeat 2020.
All right, okay.
In 1985.
We'll put it on the record. You know. But I want to thank you very much, you know, for really a fascinating account of all of the things that you've done, and you're not even 40 years old at this point, and lots of success and good health.
Yeah.
And I hope that that bet is going to come through so that you'll be around with Tommy Holmes in 2020, and you could listen to this. Thank you again.